All right, so we have some questions from students who emailed in. If you want to take a look at these and tell us what you think.
You want me to read these questions out loud?
Yes, please.
Question number one. I have an issue with a friend of mine, but I'm still feeling reactive, so I can't approach them yet. Is talking to a mutual friend about my issue to help me process my emotions and gain more insight into their possible perspective a form of instant gratification, reactive behavior, and negative speech? To that end, does therapy count as reactive behavior and seeking instant gratification? Great question. So the best way to answer this question is to ask, what's your intention? A great way of knowing if you're being reactive or not is to know what your intention is. For example, drinking alcohol, is that reactive? It all depends. If I'm drinking because I feel lonely, sad, and depressed, and I need an escape, it is reactive behavior. If I'm drinking a little bit to be social, and it's appropriate, and it's legal, and it's okay, and it's just among friends, and it's not something I need to do for my happiness, then it's furthering a cause of happiness and joy. Everything's about why you do something. If I want to talk to a friend so that they can help me process my emotions, so that I can overcome my reactive behavior and eventually find my tikkun, this is a very proactive step. If therapy is actually helping me resolve my issues and go deeper to find the inner tikkun, absolutely. It becomes reactive when my intention is just to vent and complain and take energy. That's when it becomes reactive. Question two. My girlfriend wants me to share more quickly and more often when I have issues in our relationship. I've been working on expressing myself and being more giving, but am now learning through Kabbalah the importance of pause and being non-reactive. How do I be non-reactive with someone who is asking me to be reactive? Wow, great question. There isn't a black or white answer to this. If you feel you are still reactive, too reactive, you're hurt, you're emotional, but your partner wants you to talk right now about the issue, I think it's about being honest and saying, look, I'm trying to work on myself spiritually. I want to always make sure I'm coming from the right place, and I care about you. Would you be okay if we spoke about this in an hour so that I can process my emotions and really come from the right place? Let's say he or she says, no, I want you to talk right now. Well, then that's okay. That's probably a message from the Creator. He wants you now to share how you feel. So sometimes sharing how we feel, even if it's reactive, might be therapeutic and healing. But again, if it's your girlfriend or partner forcing you to do it, I would take that as a message that it's okay. If you have no choice. If by not doing it, you're going to ruin the relationship. But oftentimes, when we are responding from a place of being reactive, that's our own decision to be reactive, and that's a problem. But relationships are a sensitive thing. You can't be so spiritual where you actually make the other person feel like you're being insensitive or you're hurting the other person. So you have to feel it out. But in general, I would start with the first approach. Be honest. Explain why you need the time. If he or she still doesn't give you the time, then share as best as you can and ask the Creator for strength that you don't make any mistakes and that you, as best as possible, don't come from a selfish or reactive place in this conversation. Next question. Kabbalah says we should pursue our desires, even desires for goods like luxury items. But by wearing those clothes or a nice purse, aren't we perpetuating a social economic imbalance? Does my desire for nice things coupled with my ability to get them make it harder on those that can't? All right, there's a lot to this question. The first thing I would say is we should never feel bad about enjoying things in this world. The Creator created beauty, pleasures, luxury so that we could reveal the light that's inside of them. But it always goes back into the why or the how. Why am I buying something? Why do I feel I need something? We're going to learn this later in Kabbalah 2 and 3. But ultimately, everything I look to receive in this world has to somehow be for the sake of sharing. So if I receive something in my life and no one else can benefit from it besides myself, that thing will cause darkness. But if I want something because I genuinely believe that it's not just going to give me pleasure, but somehow it's going to benefit others, to that extent, there's a level of protection in that thing that I want, and there'll be continuity of more blessings coming. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's important to realize, again, there's no shame in receiving. And just because I can buy something doesn't mean I should buy something. We're going to learn this also in the future, the idea of resistance or restriction. I need to always ask the question, why do I want this? Is it because it's satisfying some lack or fear that I have? Or because genuinely, I feel like having this item is going to help me be a more giving person. Or maybe it just gives me more energy or makes me feel good. But connect it in your consciousness. Don't just say, I want something. I want it for what purpose? What's real happiness? Only when we're acting like the light, right? So real happiness is only when we're giving. So if we ever get into a mode where the receiving is more than the giving, we're not going to feel happy. That's just a universal law. So it's not about give because it's the right thing to do, give because of morals, give because other people even need. Look at it kind of selfishly. By my giving being more than my receiving, I'm going to connect to happiness, abundance, and more is going to come. If I backlog my giving and I give less and I receive more, there's a traffic jam now in my soul. So things get stuck. More new energy can't come in. By sharing, I allow an opening for more to come in. And I feel joy because I'm acting now like the light. Next question. If we're not supposed to be reactive, how can we respond to extremist things like neo-Nazi activity in society? What does proactive confrontation look like in politics and society as opposed to one-on-one interactions? Another challenging question to answer. First, we have to ask ourselves, what's the root of all forms of hatred in this world? It starts with the person in his or her personal life being reactive. All of the negativity we see is really just an extension of our own personal lack of spiritual work. When I'm reactive on a micro level, I create macro damage. When enough people are reactive on a micro level, that's when chaos manifests. So the way I like to look at it is, there are some people in this world that their job is to actually go out there and be involved physically with making a change. And you know who you are. You know that that's why you came to this world. And that is what the Creator wants you to do. But a lot of us, when we're just at home and we're upset at the situation and we're getting angry, and probably all we're going to do is complain about it or talk negatively about it, it's important and powerful to realize, wait a minute, if I transform myself, especially when nobody's looking, I actually can remove hatred from the world. The Satan doesn't want us to think that way. Satan wants us to think, who am I? I can't change the world. Changing myself, what's that going to do? But it's not true. One spark of light from one person can remove the darkness created by millions of people. That's our power. We are incredibly powerful. One spark of light can light up a whole room of darkness.